Hey everybody, this is Jeff Roney, and I want to talk a bit about New World Army in general, and then I want to talk about New World Army specifically, Episode 1. So New World Army is this huge thing that I've embarked on, and it really started from an idea of doing a fan film that was shot in one room. And the idea I had was a sci-fi story of a group in a room, and it was basically a house. And so there were things going on outside, probably a lot like Signs, where you heard things, but you never really saw it. So these people were, you know, kind of talking about it, and then somebody ran in from outside and really told this just horrific story about what was going on. And so that was really the first inkling of this story that I had. And then I watched Lost, and I was just ruined, you know. And so the story from this really small fan film just became this huge audio drama that I really wanted to push to the absolute edge. So that's really the impetus for it. And there was another point where I was driving down the freeway here, the 55 towards... I live in the Orange area, and I was driving towards Costa Mesa. And as you cross the 5 freeway, I listened to XM, and the XM station fuzzed out. And I said, now that's interesting. There's a blind spot there. And I said, oh, blind spot. That's a very interesting thought. So, you know, what's really interesting is the story isn't like the most incredible news story that's ever been told. I mean, good old Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and boy, was he right. So the thing about this story is there are parts from Battlestar Galactica, there's parts from Terminator 2, there's parts from a lot of different stories, but I think the difference is I remember when I watched early Battlestar Galactica, the new series on sci-fi. When I watched a couple of them, and I remember there was a scene in particular when they were leaving this planet, and the people were like trying to get on the ship that was leaving the planet. And I thought of Katrina. I can't remember if it was before or after, but I said that's real, and that's what changed it for me. But anyway, so I said, okay, real people that aren't all good all the time and not all bad all the time, and I can look at themes within this framework that I really, really, really want to focus on. And I really started getting excited. And so, okay, what are these people's names? I said, okay, there's a young, you know, upstart guy named Trent, and then there's the Sarah, this really strong female, and then there is this older kind of crotchety guy. His name is Owen, and then there's this man that comes in and you know, wants to get in, and so I started to really kind of build the story. And then I said, okay, I don't want to do like one at a time. I want to do a full story arc. And that's always been the hardest thing for me, is to write a full story arc, because I've always get started, but I never knew where I was going. And so I said, okay, the first thing is I need to figure out an end. And so I thought about all the characters and all the different plot points I wanted to use. And then I said, okay, I've got the end. I'm not going to tell you now, but it's fantastic. Anyway, so I had the end, and I went, okay, great. So I said, I've got all these plot points. So what I want to do is I want to break it up into 3 seasons of episodes. And I don't even know how many episodes, but I wanted to make them short, because so they're probably going to be longer. I mean, there's going to be more of them than probably anybody's used to. Plus, I wanted to use a Web 2.0 stuff, and use Twitter and different ways to build a community and have people that are accessing certain files and reading certain things that won't make sense right now, but they will make sense in the future. And so that kind of gives it that type of Lost mobisodes and that kind of thing, where you know, if you're doing the find flight 815 or whatever it is, that you're getting information that'll kind of clue you in. You know, to be honest, it's a lot like the EU for Star Wars, and you know, when they talked about you know, Darth Plagueis and stuff and all that, it's probably came up in the EU and all that. So that was kind of what I was really going for. New World Army is really a huge story. It's the biggest story I've ever really taken on. And then I wrote a story called Peace Dog after a song by a group called The Cult. And I said, okay, this, and there's a point to this. So the Jedi killed someone bad, and he decided that he didn't want to be a Jedi anymore. And so he turned in his lightsaber, and, you know, Yoda said, you know, you can't not choose a side. And so Bok said, yes, I can. I choose not to choose a side. I will walk in peace. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, where he was going to use peaceful means to thwart evil. And on the imperial side, and then also on the Jedi side, to get people to interact properly, and or at least in his mind. And so that was pretty instrumental in the story process of what is peaceful, what's not peaceful, how to live life with or without violence, when is it okay, when is it not. That kind of a thing, just really deep issues. I never really wanted New World Army to be preachy, but we are going to look at really, really deep emotional things in this story. That's really going to be exciting. So anyway, so Peace Dog went away. It was a proof of concept, and I've got the file up, and I'll put a link somewhere so you can hear kind of my first attempt at an audio drama. And then I ditched that, and I kept a couple of parts of it, and then I started to build New World Army, the story. So, 3 seasons, a lot of action, a lot of different characters, a lot of things going on. I knew I wanted to have an evil robot, and I knew I needed, you know, a hero. Originally was basically a bunch of guys. Karras in episode 1 was going to be a male. He was going to be wandering around and trying to find and help and all that. But you really didn't know who, you know, what side he was going to be on in the opening. And that's really what I loved about Lost. I think the one episode of Lost that really kind of drove me to kind of write this story was the one with Anna Lucia and the tiger trap, where they threw Anna Lucia in there, and they thought that she had been hurt and all this, and then at one point they drag her out, and then she's really in charge. And so it was that kind of that kind of a thought is people are put into these situations, they don't know, they do the best they can, and in episode 1. You know, Owen has this device. It basically shuts all the weapons down, all the scanners down. So he could basically do what he wants. And he just, you know, called over the troop, the drop ships, and the troops came in, and there you go. So I also wanted a world at this point that was very... The idea I had for Telophia is the planet that the story begins on and takes place on right now is a very desolate planet. There's just, you know, wind and it's dry, and but it has a past, and we'll talk about that, you know, as things progress. But there's really not a lot going on, so. Anyway, that was kind of the way the story kind of came about, and so I began to kind of put this together, and I said, okay, I need to start episode 1 with a bang, and I have to really heighten the tension, heighten the editing. I have to go full force with some really great royalty-free music, which I got and I bought. I really need great sound effects, but I need great actors. I have to have actors that are going to bring their A game and just really knock it out of the ballpark. I really, really wanted to do the best we could for my company, for, you know, the story, and for, you know, the genre of fan audio and representing Star Wars fan work. So anyway, oh yeah, and this is really Colleen's fault, because when I was writing Peace Dog, you know, she said, you know, when are you going to drop Star Wars and write your own story? And I go, now. So, but anyway, you know, rough to hear, but it was the right thing to say. So I began to put the story together. And so I said, I need to start on the action. And so I said, you know, this room is still kind of an interesting idea, really disheveled building and all this kind of stuff. And so, when I had people try out for the parts, I said, you know, I originally read Karras's role, or I'm sorry, Owen's role. I read for Owen, and I put my voice in there just to kind of have some place marks. I did the worst Dr. Smith from Lost in Space I've ever done in my life. You know, and it's funny because, you know, just my parody stuff really kind of boiled over into it. And I was like, yeah, he's okay. But I was like, oh, this is so bad. Such a hack English actor. And but then I go, no, my goal is to, as much as possible, not be an actor in this production. Because I've just had enough of being in my own stuff. And so I had David Ault read. He did some Pendant production stuff before, and he just knocked it out of the ballpark. And originally, I thought he was a bit too fast, and I thought it just seemed different to my ears, and I really had to kind of listen to it over and over and over. And I go, no, it's real and it's honest and it's British, and that's him, and he is reflecting his tension. And so I said, I've got to let other people reflect things the way they reflect things. And Colleen worked on Karras at the beginning, and she felt that she would be better suited for other parts of the production. So we opened that up, and Melissa D. Johnson read the role. Floored me, because I knew going in that Karras had to be somebody that was like an Ian McKellen, someone who would just demand respect, and that someone was a sage and all that. And she just nailed it. And so I tossed a part to Nathan, and he just ate it up. And it was just really written perfectly for him. And a good friend of mine, Matt Kropp, I knew him in San Diego. We saw Star Wars, second through, I don't know, 10th time or something in San Diego in 77. And so he read for the Humidroid. So he has the first Humidroid part in there. And so I, you know, I had some great sound effects, but then I also really monkeyed a lot with sound effects too. I tried to be a Ben Bird as best I could. And so the drop ship, when it's like kind of hovering and you know, the troops are, you know, coming around the building and all that toward the end, that was a Navy helicopter slowed down, and it was landing or flying, I think, over the water in the middle of the ocean. And so I just slowed it down. And I think some of the guns, I slowed down a machine gun, the guns that you hear at the beginning. So anyway, you know, we had a lot of fun, and I know some people had a little trouble with the door pounding, but I couldn't find the sound. And I went, you know what, it's a door in the future. We don't know what they would really sound like. So I'm just going to leave it. And Ara Pelotti is just fantastic. She, anything you throw at that lady, the parts, she just will knock it out of the ballpark. And she was just fantastic. I cannot say enough about Ara. She's just an amazing talent. And so you know, I had all the parts I needed, and so I just started to kind of cut it together. And, you know, it was just so much fun to do that, add the music, add the sound effects. And right at the end, I knew I needed a voice of Roni's own, so I contacted a good friend of mine, Natalie Nicole Gilbert. She has more talents than you know what to do with. She's a model. She's a writer. She's a singer. She plays music. She is a disc jockey. She does audio production. I think I said she writes. I think she does photography. I think the only thing she doesn't do is, I don't know, brick work and demolition for buildings or something. She does everything else. But, you know, I originally did the opening section, so I tossed it to her, and I think it really comes off a lot better with that female voice coming in. She has a fantastic voice, but then, you know, to do the monkeying around with the title, I think was great. Excuse me. I almost removed that opening section, but I left it in because I don't know, I needed I needed to set the tone. So anyway, that's why I left it in. I did have a lot of fun doing the Twitter stuff, and if you do not follow me on Twitter, I recommend right now that you sign up for Twitter and get an account, and then look up New World Army and follow New World Army, because that's going to give you advanced access to the episodes and also this ancillary information and side stories. And so when people show up, you're already going to kind of know something about them, and they're not going to be as mysterious, and you'll know little things as they come along. So anyway, I'm really, really excited. The story just gets better and better, and it's really going to be kind of tough for me to keep up. But I'm so happy with the connections I've made and the actors I've met and the actors I'm working with. It's just fantastic. So, please, you know, keep the Earl of NWArmy.RoniZone.com close in your favorites, and just keep checking back on Twitter. And we have a lot of really fun things planned, maybe some talk show things. And stick around, keep around. It's going to be a great production going forward, and we'll see you soon. This is Jeff Roni from Roni Zone Productions for New World Army Commentary. See you later. Bye.